Hey there everybody, this is Brent Cassina, back again with a long overdue BK's Bullets. I just suddenly got the urge to do one. I'm not gonna do any editing or anything, so if you got any ums or pauses or heavy breathing, well, we may go through it or not, but I'm not gonna take the time to. I just wanna put this up there for you guys, because we have been a little long between episodes here on Comic Timing, so I just wanted to do a little solo thing, talk about a few things. We'll put up one tonight, and maybe on later in the week. Ian said he's hoping to get episode 100 part 2 out by the end of this week, and we're also recording Tuesday night. So, you know, you may have two episodes come out this coming weekend, the 23rd, 24th, you never know. So we should be pretty packed this month. I'm looking to make up for last month with the holidays and stuff, and I understand, you know, maybe you guys weren't even trying to listen to everything that was going on. I mean, busy with holidays, you playing with your new video games, watching movies, visiting family. You don't have time to listen to podcasts. I fell behind on a lot of stuff, but, you know, as far as that goes, let's get past that. Let's get on to tonight's topic. We're going to talk about a DC comic that I'm really fond of, or was. We're going to talk about Green Arrow. Not Green Arrow, Black Canary right now. I'm kind of, like, swaying on that. We reviewed the first issue of Kreisberg Run way back on the show. I forget which review corner it is, but it's in there. So just search the website for it, or iTunes, and you'll find it. But we were kind of iffy on that one. And not for the art. I mean, Mike Norton's been doing a great job on that book. And then when Kevitz jumped on to do inks on it, the book just took off for me, art-wise. You know, not just for Norton's pencils, but Sienkiewicz's inks. And for a little while, we had a mix there where it was, you know, Sienkiewicz on Norton for the Green Arrow stuff, and the Black Canary was Norton and a different inker. So we got both tastes, and it's kind of different now with Renato Guedes doing the Black Canary backups, which kind of confuses me because I thought he was just taking a break from the Superman title, but apparently he quit that and now he's doing backups, which to me seems like a step down. I was loving Guedes' stuff on Superman. Absolutely excellent. But, you know, whatever the guy needs to do to pay his bills, that's fine, that's awesome. I'm glad to see him. He's putting out regular work. You know, can't complain other than that. But we're going to talk about the Green Arrow, you know, the original book that started with Kevin Smith and ended after 1 year later with Judd Winnick writing, leading up into the Black Canary miniseries as well as the Black Canary Green Arrow series we got going on now. I picked up a bunch of issues of these at a convention called Mini MegaCon they had in the fall. It was just kind of like a two-day show. It was like the MegaCon size and they cut it in thirds. Small. I just went for the day. I met with Travis and Sean while we were there. I'll forget if we discussed this on the show or not, but, you know, it was a good time. I was only there for a couple hours, so it wasn't bad. Text message. See? Not gonna edit that out. Why bother? Anyway, so let's get on to what we're talking about. Quiver, obviously, is a great story. It's the first Kevin Smith run. It's 10 issues. Issues number 1 through 10. I had that in hardcover. I bought that when that came out. And that kind of first introduced me to the art of Phil Hester, and you know, and the inker Andy Parks, who's you know, teamed with him a lot, and they're a great art team. I love them. And later on, they kind of left, and then we got Tom Fowler, Eric Battle did a little bit in there, Marcos Martin did some covers in there, and then with 1 year later, we got to an artist. God. With 1 year later, we got to an artist who I thought was, you know, kind of following in the footsteps of Phil Hester style-wise. With Scott McDaniel. That's right. I love Scott McDaniel. Love his stuff. Anyway, so let's get to the book. I mean, I started. Quiver is a great story. Anybody who digs Green Arrow needs to read Quiver, especially if you don't know how he came back from the dead. That's where it's all laid out. It's a wonderful story. It'll take you a while to read. I mean, it is 10 issues, and Kevin Smith is pretty damn wordy in that book. And, you know, Kevin Smith did a follow-up story called The Sounds of Violence, also in hardcover or softcover, whatever you feel like. But I never got that one when it came out. So part of going back, I got a big run. I got Archer's Quest, which is Brad Meltzer's first DC work, I think. And I got Straight Shooter. You know, I got pretty much everything all the way up to 1 year later, because I had the 1 year later comics, which is 60 through 75. I bought those when they came out. So just kind of me catching up on Green Arrow. I think I skimmed through the trades a while back before I bought these, and so I knew what was going on as I was reading them, but not a whole lot of familiarity. But all in all, a great experience and a great series you should check out, really. Especially with all the Green Arrow stuff that's coming up right now. In the solicits with, you know, the fall of Green Arrow, rise of Arsenal. Personally, I think he's going to become a villain, but we'll kind of find out how that goes. You know, maybe he's just majorly pissed, but hopefully he'll have a good reason to become a villain, if that's indeed what happens. So, it's pretty cool. But, let's talk about, you know, Quiver. I kind of covered, it goes over the return of Green Arrow. Great story. And then Kevin Smith kind of stays on for another, you know, 5 issues through 15 with The Sounds of Violence. The first two are kind of setting the status quo, and then the other three are kind of his introduction of Automata Pia, who was recently in the Kevin Smith's Batman miniseries, which I didn't read because I saw the art online and I just said I'll stay away from that. So I don't know, I may pick it up later, but the Widening Gear stuff is the same artist, Walt Flanagan. Just not my thing. And there's some other art issues in this Green Arrow thing that weren't really my thing, but some people may call me crazy, but we'll get to those as we come to them. But, you know, the first story that really stood out to me, and one of the more classic stories, I think, in this Green Arrow run is the Archer's Quest. And that's done, like I said earlier, Brad Meltzer, as well as Phil Hester and Andy Parks are on the art. Basically, it's a story of Ollie. He's kind of like, you know, he's come back. He came back from the dead in Quiver and kind of, you know, set himself up for his life. And then Sounds of Violence, we get 2 issues there where he's kind of going through the motions and, you know, getting used to the world, and then something happens. And the Archer's Quest is kind of him rectifying himself with the rest of the DC Universe. There were some things in the Quiver with Batman, the Justice League, Wonder Woman, stuff like that, where he came back, but it's just like, hey guys, I'm back. This is much more of like a personal story, and really it kind of sets up the Green Arrow Black Canary marriage with the last issue. It's not a spoiler, well, maybe a minor spoilers abound here, but just he goes around and gathering all these items that are personal to him for personal reasons. And he takes Roy along with him, and the last thing that he wants is an arrow, his diamond-tipped arrow, and obviously that's something that he uses later on when he proposes to Dinah in 75, and you kind of find that out. So, there's a cool little circle that Judd Winnick did, but, you know, next we got Black Circle Urbanites, which is a 6-issue crossover with Green Lantern. I didn't revisit these. I have them in a different box with my Green Lantern stuff, just because I kind of figured, because it starts on Earth and then it goes into space and it's kind of weird. It's good though, it's good, but it's from the Ben Robb era of Green Lantern. And I think that's kind of where Ben Robb kind of took over, because he wrote Green Arrow, the Green Arrow issues, and Charlie Adlard did the art. And I want to say that Judd Winnick and Andy Parks went and did the Green Lantern issues. Let me check here on Comic Book DB. No, Charlie Adlard did the whole thing, but Judd Winnick did jump over to Green Lantern and kind of went back to maybe this was his last run. Maybe this is where Judd Winnick left, you know, took off after this crossover. Let me kind of jump through here real quick. Yeah, so that's, I was wondering where that connection came from. So Judd Winnick, Ben Robb worked on this crossover together. Judd Winnick jumped off Green Lantern. Ben Robb took over. And then from there, Judd Winnick jumped on Green Arrow with Straight Shooter, which is actually a very, very good story. I enjoyed it a whole lot. Simply because it introduces this assassin, I think, named... forget his name now. Yeah, introduced to this assassin who comes along later in the story when Star City gets blown up, later in Dead Winnick's run, but it also involves Black Lantern, Black Lightning. So many colors in the DC Universe now, it's confusing. Black Lightning's niece, his niece or his daughter. Green Arrow ends up hooking up with her and cheating on Dinah. There are monsters. Just a weird story. Oh, the assassin's name is Drakon. Draken or something like that. That's pretty cool. Just really cool. Some corporate subterfuge, stuff like that. And then another standout issue actually you want to check out is Green Arrow 32. It's Boys Night Out. And that's you will know this cover because it's a Brian Bolland cover. There's a pair of like stripper legs in the middle, and you got Roy Harper and Green Arrow 2. His name is Connor. Right. It's just, you know, when you talk about this, it's freeform. You got Roy and Connor looking through this, up at this girl's crotch or whatever. Just a classic cover. One of the better covers in this run, actually. But not to be left out are all of the Matt Wagner covers, who goes through issue 31 with Green Arrow and turns in some astounding work. I think the strongest of them being early on, but he's got some great ones later on, too. But the next storyline is City Walls, and that's kind of interesting because there's an enchantment put over Star City, and what happens there is anybody who commits violence or of any sort of kind, breaks one of God's laws, is instantly killed or rectified, hand, limb, arm cut off by these demons that just kind of appear out of nowhere. And it's up to Green Arrow, the mobsters, surprisingly, and the cops to kind of take this guy down. And it, you know, kind of goes into a different place because it makes Mia do something she's going to regret, but kind of leads her on the path to being Speedy. Which we get in the next storyline called New Blood, which is also the same storyline where we find out she's HIV positive, stuff like that. And then after that kind of begins the whole thing of the downfall of Star City. You can kind of tell these issues apart based on the covers done by James Jean, who also I don't know if Fable started around this time or not, but he was doing Fables covers, he did these covers, and these Green Arrow covers are really cool. This series has a lot of great cover artists. Marcos Martin, Matt Wagner, and then James Jean to close it out, and then Scott McDaniel once 1 year later hops on. But this was really interesting. But this is kind of where the art jumps off the train for me. Simply because you get Tom Fowler and Eric Battle, and compared to Phil Hester, they're not the same stylistically for me. Phil Hester has a really blocky style, and these guys are much more loose, much more cartoony. Things are exaggerated, they're stretched out. Phil Hester is just kind of blocky, and I like that style for Green Arrow because he's got so many straight lines in his costume, and you know the arrows are straight lines, not really cartoony for me. You know, he's such a serious guy sometimes with his liberal attitude and stuff like that, but you know, but for the most part, you know, it's a good story. It's a good story. The mechanical cowboy comes in and blows shit up. You get the return of Drakon or Draken, and then Dr. Light actually comes in for a few issues, messes things up, which leads to a final showdown pretty much between Green Arrow and Merlin. His opposite, the bow archvillain that Green Arrow's got. And it basically leads to the destruction of Star City, and you read some of this aftermath in the 1 year later Green Arrow, as well as in 52. I specifically remember a scene where they were talking about putting up a wall and Green Arrow standing there, and then later on it gets to where he's thinking about running for mayor of Star City. So that was pretty cool. But 1 year later, and this is something that I want to talk about with Ian, maybe later on down the show as a show topic, is why do people think 1 year later sucked? Why do they consider it a failure? You know, that's a different topic. I won't get into that now. But one of the Green Arrow stories that came out of here I thought were great. Oliver Queen is elected mayor of Star City. His Green Arrow costume changes, which I like. Kind of returns to the Longbow Hunter days. But he's kind of got the Captain America boots, and once Green Arrow Black Canary starts up, they kind of tweak this a little bit. And I think now he's gone back to his classic costume, or his second one with the weird gloves that, you know, go all the way up to his biceps and stuff like that with the holes missing. But I'm really a fan of this 1 year later costume with the hood and all that. Just really simple for me. Kind of a more Robin Hood type look than the hat with the feather. That reminds me of, you know, what's the macaroni song guy. Just, you know, put a feather in his hat, call him macaroni. That guy. But that storyline is called Crawling Through the Wreckage, and it's kind of just the rebuilding of Star City, all that it went through because of the explosions that happened at the end of issue 59 and all this other stuff, you know. And then there's a showdown with Deathstroke that I really loved. Green Arrow and Brick team up together, and then in the middle of all this, you know, which is, you know, after that initial storyline, which is kind of weird because then you find out where Green Arrow went for that 1 year. He was on an island retraining himself, learned how to use a sword, got better, and he, you know, he asked Deathstroke's teacher, basically, to teach him how to kill. He wants to learn everything that Deathstroke did, pretty much. But I don't even think he knew it was Deathstroke's teacher. But anyway, it pretty much goes from there into the final issues of the series, where you got Red Hood and Brick teaming up. You know, this is back when Red Hood was, you know, just coming out of Batman, actually. You know, a few months after his appearance in Batman, also written by Judd Winnick, coincidentally, ended. And that's kind of a cool four-issue story. And then there's kind of three issues where Deathstroke returns, Merlin returns, you know, and then it kind of culminates kind of weirdly into a proposal to Black Canary. She kind of shows up in 74 or 75, but what's great in those last three issues, 73 through 75, Oliver kind of quits as mayor of Star City, and there's some political things going on at the same time, and you think that his deputy mayor not deputy mayor, he's got like a right-hand man that actually, I think, I don't remember where he was in the series before, but apparently he showed up on the island or something like that, and then came with Oliver to Star City to help him out. But you think he's betraying him, and then at the end it turns out into like a, you know, it was a pre-planned move. He becomes mayor of Star City, and then Green Arrow proposes, and then we go into the Black Canary miniseries and this current series we got now, which I reread all those up through Judd Winnick's run. And for me, I'm not sure about those issues. I'm really not sure, because I loved the Green Arrow stuff. I loved it. Don't get me wrong. And the Black Canary 4-issue miniseries, that was fun. But to me, I didn't know who Sin was. I wasn't reading Bird of Prey. I didn't know Black Canary adopted the girl, you know, until Sean and Jim talked about it on Raging Bullets a long time ago. So that was kind of weird. It was just kind of like an excuse to get this girl out of the way so that people who were reading Green Arrow and weren't reading Birds of Prey, like me, wouldn't get confused when they got married and this girl showed up. Which is kind of weird that they got married after they got rid of the girl. Wouldn't you want the girl to be part of your wedding? It's just weird. And there hasn't been any mention of her, I don't think, in the issues of Green Arrow Black Canary since. So that's interesting. I want to say that Green Arrow Black Canary is going back to just being Green Arrow once this rise and fall of Green Arrow stuff starts up in a few months. So I want to say that's coming up. So I don't know if they're getting divorced or they're just separated or whatever. Maybe they're just changing it back to, you know, the way it should have been, really. I mean, to me, I like the title change because it symbolized their union and stuff, but was it necessary to start over from a new issue one? I don't think so. 25 issues, you know, you're coming up on issue 100, you know, or, you know, they're at issue 75. They would have been coming up on 100 within 2 years. Just, for me, I don't know, put it on hiatus, have the special, and then start it back up. Green Arrow, Black Canary, number 76. I mean, they did it with Incredible Hercules. A couple of DC books have done this. You know, Batman and the Outsiders went to Outsiders. Just put her in there until you feel you need to take her out again. Take her back out. You know, and then you got a long run of Green Arrow. I mean, I don't know, just for me it runs weird. But the thing that bothered me with that, Green Arrow Black Canary run with Judd Winnick was that it just kind of felt off. And it felt like it dragged on for far too long. A lot of these issues that Judd Winnick does, you know, they're 5, 4, 6 issue storylines. And then you kind of got this long one that almost runs 15, 16 issues of just Green Arrow disappearing, them getting him back, and then Connor gets shot, and then he disappears, and then they get him back for a long time, which is when Mike Norton jumps in, starts doing chores on the book. So it's just kind of like one long storyline, and I don't know how they break that up in the trades, but it's just really weird. And at the time, I felt like it was dragging on for far too long. Which this guy, when Kreisberg showed up, the guy who's writing it currently, me and Ian were excited a little bit because we were like, oh, a new direction. We're kind of bored of this Connor thing. I'm kind of glad they took him out of the way, but I'm not glad of what they did to him because they kind of crippled the character. Not physically, but, you know, mentally. He kind of forgot all of his skills, which to me doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense at all. And then Kreisberg proceeded to take him out of the book along with Mia once he jumped on, and then Mia's shown back up in recent issues, but nowhere we've seen Connor. So it's kind of weird. So I don't know if he's going to come back in with Roy with this Arsenal stuff that's going on. I don't know. We'll find out. But definitely check out Green Arrow. Check out the series. Judd Winnick, Phil Hester, you know, Scott McDaniel on art on the last, you know, 15 issues, which I need to take a second to talk about him. I love his art. Some people don't like it. They say it's cartoony, blocky, simplistic, lacks a lot of detail. For me, it's got a lot of style, and it's got a lot of energy and speed for me. And he loves doing the multi-shot acrobatics. He did Batman for a while. He did a run with Nightwing. So he's really got these non-superhero, down-to-earth characters. He's really got a feel for them, pretty good feel. But I just love his art. I really do. I'm a fan of the stylized stuff, and I'm a fan of a lot of different things. But Scott McDaniel and Phil Hester, another reason why I like Scott McDaniel on this title is that it kind of completes the loop that Phil Hester started with the blocky art style and the heavy inks from Andy Parks. You got Andy Owens on Scott McDaniel, some heavy inks there, you know, thick lines, broad brush strokes, just broad shoulders, and you know, the art style is just broad in general. So I think it kind of completes the circle from issue 1 to issue 75 in a really nice way that kind of makes, when you read the series as a whole, kind of completes the arc and gives you a good feeling once that ends. So that's the reason why. But, you know, definitely check this out. It's a great, great series. And look out later this week for another little 30-minute thing of BK's Bullets. I'll be talking some Final Crisis miniseries that I revisited. And we'll see you guys next time on Comic Time. Bye.